This episode is sponsored by Our Crowd, where accredited investors can participate in single company deals for as little as $10,000. Visit Our Crowd at OurCrowd.com/TDI.
The Disciplined Investor is all about you, your money, and the markets. Sit back and get ready for this edition of the Disciplined Investor Podcast.
This episode of The Disciplined Investor is sponsored by Horowitz & Company. If you're looking for a portfolio manager, look no further. Horowitz & Company, from seed through harvest, cultivating financial success.
The election is over, but the results are not clear. Markets rally, the best week since April. Stimulus efforts moving to a skinny plan, and we have a new game plan with a new government. All this and much more on episode number 687 of the Disciplined Investor Podcast. Let's start right out with this show with a big virtual hug to everybody. How are you? How you doing? How was your week? Did you get sleep? Were you annoyed? Were you aggravated? Did you get what you thought was going to happen? Maybe you're frustrated at the process. Maybe, like a lot of people like me, we're kind of relieved that some of this election campaign and advertising and just everything that went on up until the election, which is obviously not necessarily over yet and probably won't be over for some time to come, but a lot of the angst is kind of subsided. I'm Andrew Horowitz, and thanks for being here. Thanks for your ears, of course, that you have each and every week that are tuned in to the show. And just for some context, I'm the founder, I'm the president of Horowitz & Company, and this is what we do is portfolio management, right? What we do is investment. We're investment managers. We're advisors. So for all those people that maybe are just tuning in for the first time, this is what we do each and every day of the week. And when we come and do this podcast, the information we talk about, whether it's with our guests or whether it's with just a discussion that we have together, is real. There's no academic theory going on here. Somebody that's just posted a podcast and wants to talk about what they did with their investments. No, this is real time. This is real life. IRL, if you will. You know what I'm talking about. So some of the things that we talk about on a regular basis and some of the things we're going to talk about today in particular are all about the changes that are happening in the markets right now with an outlook for a changed government, where we have a different positioning. So we're going to get into that and talk about some of those important items today. And it was quite a week. We had a great guest on last week, of course. Adam Curry talked about the beginnings of podcasting and how it all started. I thought that was really good. It was off the beaten path, though. It wasn't about investing necessarily, but it was about the business of podcasting, kind of the new media that's out there. And aside from that, obviously, this week was just simply exhausting, right? And what we know right now, at least from what is happening with the election, is that there's going to be lawsuits. There's going to be contests. And I don't think that was a surprise. I don't think it's going to be a surprise that this drags out for some time, probably until the official Electoral College vote happens. But one thing that is shaping up, again, it's not exactly over yet, but if we can take from what we see right now, what is shaping up and why probably the markets were all giddy about the results they saw so far, was that we have a split government. Very much what we have currently. You know, right now we have a Republican president, we have a Republican Senate, and we have a Democratic Congress or House. Right now, if all things go as they seem to be going, it looks like we're going to have the Democrats controlling the House. Nothing really changed there. A little bit of a slope and slant towards the Republicans, that the Republicans picked up a few seats there. In the Senate, it looks like, all things considered, it's probably going to stay in Republican hands. There is the chance with some of these runoff deals and elections that we're seeing on a couple of matters that it may actually be a little bit closer than we expect. And with that, that could be an issue. That is the, I think right now, that is probably the biggest question that we're dealing with. The makeup of the Senate. If somehow, for some reason, it ends up being a tie or an equal amount of Republicans and Democrats, markets may not actually like that. Because what will happen is that in a runoff, and if Biden-Harris get into office, then Harris is going to be the final say in the Senate for any kind of tie vote or tiebreaker. But I think the markets are considering the fact that right now a split government's actually good. Nobody's going to be able to run away with any of their initiatives. So what that means is that the plan to raise taxes on corporations possibly put on the side for a while because it won't get through. The rollback of the regulation rollbacks, in other words, putting more regulations on, will probably not get a lot of legs. And on top of that, some of this Green Deal probably not going to get through. So there's a lot of things, whether it comes to estate taxes or a step up in basis. Some of the plans that were talked about on the Biden campaign that were really concerning to investors may not actually get done. So if that's the case, if we get this outcome where one side can't really have their way and push over the other, or have like what was talked about, the blue wave, where you have a majority in both the Senate and in the House and the same side in the presidential seat, concerning people that a lot of things that were going to be detrimental for our money, that was the common thought, is really not going to be the play. So what happens now? Well, markets like a lot of things. So we saw that there was a big ramp for marijuana stocks due to the potential for legalization. That's something that's been talked about on the ticket for Biden-Harris. Possibly more gun control legislation will slip in there, be attempted at least. Possibly more stimulus. And what we saw this week was some of the names like the companies that sell guns and the retail outlets dropped, whereas the marijuana stocks really ramped higher. The dollar came down due to the fact that there was a thought that there's going to be additional stimulus and that would weaken the dollar overall. And what else? We talked about this, right? Tax rate increases, probably not easily done. Going to be tabled. Regulatory rollbacks, not easily done. Tabled. Or at least when I say regulatory rollbacks, the rollbacks are the rollbacks. Big stimulus would be a big effort. Already we've seen Mitch McConnell on the latter part of the week, I think it was Friday afternoon, talking about a skinny deal. They're using that term again, skinny. They're talking about a skinny deal, a targeted deal, which actually, with the advancement and the pace of the economic recovery, that's probably not the dumbest idea in the world. Let me turn it around differently. Probably a good idea. If we need stimulus in certain areas of the economy, but not a full blanketed effect like we had with the CARES Act, with the PPP, and with the unemployment benefits, if we really target those areas that are in specific need, then I think that maybe to start with, a skinny deal is probably the most appropriate thing to do. Listen, we saw that the unemployment rate dropped to 6.9% from 7.9%. Now, yes, we have to understand that a lot of people have dropped off of the employment rolls, and therefore what happens in the statistical calculation of the unemployment rate, we're seeing that there is a change, and a lot of the drop that we saw from the 8% down to the 7 and change down to 6.9 is really reflective of what we saw with regard to that calculation. The reality is it's probably a lot worse than really is being reported. But what's happening is that markets are seeing that there is a recovery. You can only go with so many statistics and so many reports. You have to start listening to that because the markets listen to it. So put that aside for a second. Let's get back to the stimulus. Now, it would be hard-pressed with the current makeup of the government right now. I'm not talking about Biden. I'm talking about with Trump as president, and we have the Republicans in the Senate and the Democrats in the House. They've already had a really difficult deal trying to get through a $2.2 trillion stimulus plan. The Republicans are budged a little bit. The Democrats did not. All right, this is not a political discussion. It's just talking about where we're going in terms of the potential for additional stimulus. So I think it's probably a good idea to have this targeted, what do you want to call it, skinny, partial, whatever you want to call it, a targeted stimulus that really focuses in on the areas of need. Now, even if it is just a targeted, even if it's a much smaller amount, let's call it $500, $750 billion, still a very significant amount. We do think that there's also going to be the potential for the introduction of an infrastructure deal and probably pressure for more stimulus in the future. That is going to have an impact on the dollar like we've been seeing. The dollar has been in a downtrend for some time. So we have to add to that also outside of the political environment, what's happening with the pandemic, the direction. We're seeing that some economic indicators are starting to, we'll call it level off. I don't know if it's actually weaken, but level off. Now, if we have further pressure in the U.S. to stay at home or lockdowns under Biden, he's already talking about a national mask policy. We also could have a weaker dollar moving forward. So I think the trend, unless something very dramatic happens, is going to be for the dollar to go lower. Now, I'm going to bring this all to a conclusion in a minute. So I'm just kind of throwing out some of these ideas that I jotted down in terms of what we're looking forward to in the next, let's call it 6 months or a year. There's also the idea of initiatives for a Green Deal of some sort. That was a big platform discussion. Going green. Now, this is still an open question, right? Because there's the concern about, you know, what can actually get through. But if these initiatives and if this legislation of some sort, whether it's a broad-based and a very heavy package for going green, for saving the environment, for combating, you know, climate change, however it's going to come across, there's going to be a lot of this with this next administration, if in fact Biden does lead, right? So that could help things like clean power, solar, EVs, electric vehicles, and a lot of the green industries out there. Now, with a weaker dollar, let's kind of put this into context now. With a weaker dollar that has the potential of continuing, with the potential for green initiatives, additional stimulus, what are we thinking about certain areas of the markets and how we want to react to that? And what have we been actually doing? So I want to focus in on something that I don't think we spent a lot of time on in this discussion here. It's one of the areas that we have within our, we'll call it our diversified portfolios, our global allocations, our investology to a degree, but our core globally allocated portfolios that we utilize for many of our clients. And one of the things that we have that we've had for some time is a position, not a big position, but a position in commodities. Now, the idea was that when we look back historically and we look at commodities, generally speaking, as a sector, when we include things like energy and ags, livestock, industrial and precious metals, for example, when we include that in a portfolio, it provides a bit of diversification that is actually long-term helpful for two things. It's helpful for the potential for variability, standard deviation, risk, downside volatility, it helps to smooth out returns and provides a little bit of punch for the overall return. That's kind of like what you want to do, right? You want to find where, hey, where can I limit downside risk and where can I, in fact, get better returns net? So in other words, let me say it a different way. Where can I really optimize to get a positive risk-adjusted return or alpha in my portfolio? Where can I drop my beta, which is the volatility, we'll call it, or the risk factors compared to like the markets? And where can I then enhance my gains? So for example, commodities historically have been a good place to do that. Now, I say historically, because over the last couple, 3 years, not so. There's been a lot of cross currents. One of the things that you have inside of a commodity fund and a diversified index, whether you use some of the basic standard indices out there, is that what you have is a large chunk of the pool of the investment that you're investing in, oftentimes in energy. Could be 30%, could be 40%. So you also have a large chunk in, let's call it, you know, the grains, the food stuff. And then down the list, you have some of the metals, whether the shinies or the precious metals, or it's the industrials. So if, in fact, energy is a big component of that, let's kind of look at that. Is that something, then we talk about a dollar that's coming down and the potential for greener legislation that's going to come on and the basic trend of what we're seeing in the country now. Is that going to be something that we want to participate in? Is that going to continue to be, again, aside from the last year and a half or so, is that going to continue to be a good diversifier, that component in the portfolio? Now, let's add a layer. Let's add a layer of the potential for inflation. So now if we have inflation, what happens? Well, what are the traditional assets that do, you know, best? It's those that maybe are priced in dollars for that matter. It's those hard assets. It's those things that you can be, we call them tangible assets. So when we add that all together, the idea of a dollar that is on the downtrend, the potential for more stimulus and new initiatives to spend money that will actually move the dollar lower, inflation that could be on the way due to the stimulus and the low interest rate environment that we're in right now, greener initiatives, it seems that oil is not the desired majority of what you would want inside of your commodity exposure at this point. Now, I'm not talking about trading. I'm talking about a long-term diversifier within a portfolio to, again, help accentuate the alpha, decrease risk on the downside, the variability of the portfolio from that aspect, or increase my net returns or my risk-adjusted returns, my risk-free returns on top of the risk returns. Basically, what I'm saying is this, just to bring it down to common terminology, that we want to have something and some things in a portfolio, but in this case, I'm talking about commodities, something that can have a bit of a offsetting effect if, in fact, let's say just equities and standard assets like equities and bonds are not doing well for one reason or the other. We look at correlations and find out, is it correlated or not? Now, when I see that the potential for a greener initiative is out there, then oil and natural gas has a cap. It's a natural cap. Because what happens is that when oil prices start to come up, usually right now what's happening, it's not necessarily from natural demand. What it is because of OPEC cutting output, bringing down supply, right? Think about that. Bringing down supply rather than having the opportunity to increase the natural demand. So what happens then? Well, oil prices go up, but not due to demand, but by taking away supply. Now, when oil prices go up in an environment that is having a higher level of EV availability and desire. And we're looking at a world that they're becoming much more the norm. Well, as prices go up for oil due to the fact of whether it's supply-demand or whether it's due to the fact of just simple cuts by OPEC, people are going to gravitate towards what? Well, not your combustion engine, probably EVs, which they're doing anyway. So what does that do? That drops the requirement for demand once again. So this cycle kind of goes along where, okay, well, they're cut. They'll cut the supply. That's going to bring prices up again. And again, this cycle of price increases and the lack of natural demand and a demand decrease overall is going to go on and on and on, thereby creating that head-scratching moment, or maybe that kind of beard-scratching moment, right? You know, thinking, do I want to be in oil from when I see the outlook long-term as a potential diversifier for my portfolios, if in fact there is a new paradigm for energy? Now, I'm not talking about here the idea of, oh, I really like the EVs and you should invest in Tesla. You should, you know, put your money into Workhorse or NIO. I'm not talking about any of that. I'm not talking about necessarily any lithium or, you know, looking at it. I'm talking about the fact that if I'm looking for a diversifier that could really focus in on inflation and hard assets, dollar downtrend, where do I want to go? So as energy is an outsized component in many of the commodity indices that are available out there, primarily in the active and some passive ETFs, you know, the active funds and both the passive ETFs, they're going to follow that index. They can't change it. It is set. So we want to keep our exposure to commodities. So where do we want to be? So we made the decision. We made the decision. We're going to focus in on the precious metals for that component of our portfolio because we just don't see how we can have the ability for a stay-at-home environment where people are sitting home, you know, really having a real big impact on ags and livestock, for that matter. And if a greener initiative comes with a downstroke on the dollar and inflation possibly out there, supply-demand on our energy side of things really diminishing, you kind of add that all up and you kind of do a quick checkbox. Okay, does that work for this? No. Does that no. How about no? And then all you're left with is inside that commodity pool, the potential for things like gold and silver. So what we are working on is the process, and we've done a lot of this already, of rotating any of the commodity exposure into specifically gold and silver. I guess we also have to probably just bring up one other point I'm thinking about. Kind of late to the game point, but I want to bring this up. You know, under the current environment that we're in, one of the big things you have to understand is that depending on your portfolio, not just stock picking, I'm not talking about that, but if you have a core allocation in a portfolio, I think it's important to understand that now is the time because we have a presidential election with a change of command potentially. It is a time to start thinking about how you want to react to new information and how then is it appropriate to set up for the future. Now, under Trump, he wasn't so green. Very friendly with Saudi Arabia, right? Biden doesn't seem to want to rely on fossil fuels. So that, again, you know, and fracking for that matter, right? Some offshore drilling discussions. So that is kind of like, you know, this big screen green story. Okay, well, let's think about maybe looking at, I don't know, let's look at solar stocks. Let's look at EVs. Let's look at renewable energy. But also the other side of the discussion is, well, what about oil? What about energy? What about traditional fossil fuels? So that's exactly what I'm talking about here. It's that time, that moment when we really need to rethink where we are from an investment standpoint in a lot of this. There's been a lot of signals over the last year or so about fossil fuels. No question about that. And prices came up, they came down, they came up, they came down, kind of sitting below the 40 level on crude right now, and it doesn't look like there's going to be a big demand. Now, one of the things you may say, well, wait, hold it. What happens if we get a vaccine? What happens if somehow, some way, this is all over with this pandemic? And therefore, the cruise ships, the planes, the truckers, more travel, that could, in fact, be a catalyst to increase the price of oil. However, there is so much supply right now that will take years to really start doing anything significant. Now, it may pop. We may see a quick pop. But do you want to be involved in a wasting asset right now? I think we can always change up as times change. We're not married to this particular decision forever. But it just seems to me that right now, there's something a little bit off with regard to this whole oil issue. All right, a couple of things I want to discuss here. I'm going to move along. Next week, we are going to have a listener question podcast. Listener questions. So you can get your questions in. In fact, you can record those. We're going to be doing this earlier in the week next week, so get them in as soon as possible. This is what you can do. First, you can go to thedisciplinedinvestor.com. You can click on the Ask Andrew area and just ask whatever question you want. We'll get it on. Or you can actually be on the show. Yep, that's what I'm talking about. You and your voice and your question. You can call in and leave a recorded message. I want to do that. If a lot of you could do that, that would be really great and make for a good show. I'm going to give you the phone number to call in and leave a recorded message or comment. So get a pen or something else to write this down with. Here it is, 754-300-7095. So you can just call in, ask your question, your comment, and we'll put you on next week's show. It's 754-300-7095. At this point, I want to talk to you about something. I want to talk to you about our crowd. You know, there's a lot of people that wish that they were in on the early side of some of the best performing IPOs of 2019 and 2020. And with our crowd, accredited investors have access to invest directly, easily, and most importantly, early. Isn't that the point? Our crowd investors have benefited from our crowd companies IPOing, like Beyond Meat, or being bought by companies like Intel, Microsoft, Nike, Oracle. Now today, you can actually join our crowd's investment in Cyabra, which is an AI-enabled platform that uncovers online disinformation and deep fakes. We know that disinformation becomes increasingly threatening to global brands, media, governments, and Cyabra reports that it's uniquely positioned to serve this potential $6 billion market. You can get in early on Cyabra and plenty of other unique opportunities at ourcrowd.com/TDI. So if you're interested in investing and you need to check out what it's all about, it's free, by the way. You just simply go over to ourcrowd.com/TDI. That's ourcrowd.com/TDI. So we got some comments on last week's show. It's again off the track and off the beaten path of investing. But I thought a really great discussion with Adam Curry, who is known as the Podfather. He's the gen who invented the podcast, and he's working on the next generation of the medium called Podcasting 2.0. So I really encourage you to check that out. One more item I want to discuss here and go through a couple of different things on this. So I had a really good discussion with Frank Kersey. It was really in-depth. It was about the election. And we had this discussion and talk about all the areas of the markets that may see some benefit and some things that may be a problem, how things will be organized, you know, what's going to happen, like I talked about with the dollar. We just really got into a lot of things. We talked about the pandemic and the potential for what's about a case and what's not a case and about the death rates and really what's going on. So you could check that out. It's over on YouTube. Just look up Frank Curzio, Andrew Horowitz. I'm going to put a link in this week's show also in the episode notes of 687 on the disciplinedinvestor.com. Something I just wanted you to watch. So, I think it's important that we touch on something. Because we've been dancing around it for a while here, and it's a kind of a hot potato topic that is you know, everybody has their own opinion on this, and I want to really talk about how to view this from an investor standpoint. And it picks up on where we left off with the U.S. dollar and the weakness, and it changed the U.S. direction potentially, and mixing in, I guess, the rapid directional increase in pandemic cases around the country and around the world. Because if you think about what is happening and how things are shaping up, it's pretty interesting that we are still seeing a pretty good level of keeping the virus to a minimum in many areas of Asia and emerging markets. Not all. And I want to fold this into the discussion of why we also continue to like emerging markets and the sector. So I talked about one sector that we like right now in terms of the commodities and how we're making that change. And I wanted to walk you through where our thinking was, analysis, philosophy, outlook, so that you can kind of track along with that and see how that plays into how you do things and try to give you a little bit of a, I would call it education or information, insight, an inside look of where our thinking was and is. And now I want to kind of now do a similar discussion with emerging markets. And one of the problems is when dealing with this discussion and now talking about the idea of the pandemic in let's just get right to it in China or the economics that are happening in China. The first thing that we're all going to do, you probably thought already, it's like probably floating around your mind right now, like, they're liars. Their numbers aren't true. They put out whatever they want. They're a communist country. I mean, come on. The news is controlled by the government and a few people up at top. It's censored. I mean, what are you talking about, dude? Right? I mean, that's probably what's going through your mind right now. And it's, I think it's a topic that I talk about a lot. So I don't think I'm just making this up. And I venture to say that you're probably shaking your head like you're doing right now. Saying, yeah, it's hard to believe the numbers out of China or maybe some of the other emerging markets or some of the other Asian markets around the world. And again, this is something that I've really had conversations recently with people. But here's the fact. It's the only data we really have, right? It's the only information that is provided for the markets, for the institutions, for the investors, for anybody that's trying to understand what's going on. It's very difficult to try to find alternative data on a country or countries that are kind of closed. I mean, we could probably sit here and talk about how we question some of the numbers that come out of our governmental agencies on a regular basis, but we're just much more somehow able to just absorb and believe what they have here. However, have you ever wondered if you're sitting on the other side of the pond looking into the United States, if you're thinking, oh, yeah, we really believe the United States, but their numbers are really good, but everybody else's is wrong. I mean, I think it's a matter of perspective and where we are from the standpoint of, hey, we believe our stuff because we're here and they're not. They're over there somewhere. Because it's hard to believe that we have viruses and new case counts. And again, let's just go with this for a second. In the amount of about 100, 120,000 per day in the U.S. And France has a ridiculous increase. I think it was 60,000 on Friday. And we're seeing that Italy is hotspot again. The U.K., the whole Europe is really a disaster area. All the food and wine countries. And yet... there's like no cases in China. I mean, Hello? How is that? Well, I could probably give you a couple reasons why that is. And our economy's taken a long time to really get back. And if we look at China, their economy's doing much better and showing a nice recovery as well as holding down the overall spread on top of it. Oh, my. How is all that possible? I know. Back to that question. Well, can we believe China's numbers? I don't know. Do I think there's a possibility that there is some kind of credibility problem with China and some of the other Asian countries and emerging markets? Absolutely. Well, if that's the case, what do I do about it? Well, I don't really factually know if there's a problem, right? Nor do you. We can speculate. And it's easy to speculate. It's easy to say that China's numbers are no good. But you know, when the numbers are actually good and when things are just going along swimmingly just fine, everybody seems to believe it, right? But now all of a sudden we're in disbelief. But those results are showing up and believed by market participants. And we see, for example, the emerging market index is starting to break out. Now we add the US dollar weakness to that, and that's probably a place that you may want to look at. Depending on what particular investment you use for emerging markets, China could be anywhere from 20 to 30 to 40% of the total portfolio value. And we've held a position in emerging markets for our global allocations, for Investology. And if you just look at a couple of different things, for example, let's look at valuations. Let's look at fundamentals. Again, we'll get back to that question. Can we believe what's going on anywhere else in the world besides here and their accounting methodologies and their strictness and regulatory environment? And all that? Again, this is something where the risk is, it has to be either assumed or not assumed. It is something we have to believe or not believe. If we don't believe it, you stay away from it. You never invest in it. However, if you look at the long term of the markets in areas of Thailand and in China, maybe not just recently, but long term, these have been really good places to have an allocation to add to your diversification. Markets believe the numbers. That's why when you see a solid number come out of China, or whether it's Vietnam or maybe India, it's reacted upon as if that number is truth. Now, we could sit here all day long and debate whether or not these numbers are good, whether the governments are really trying to just give us whatever they can to make it look as good as possible. But, you know, at the end of the day, we could sit here and do all that mental masturbation. And meanwhile, that market's running away from us or maybe moving against us. I mean, depending on what's happening. It's much easier for somehow for people to believe when things aren't going well. Well, that's good. Oh, yeah. Well, look at that. They're going to have a terrible GDP print. Look at that number. Than when things are actually good for some reason. And I don't really understand that. What I propose, what I challenge you to do is to think in terms of investing. Think in terms of what the institutional investors think about. That's where the big money is flowing. Think about what successful investors are doing. They may or may not believe it, but yet at the same time, there is more of a belief in the information because really the truth of the matter is this. That's the only data that is available. And if markets are queuing and reacting off of that data, then that is the only data that you should be using to make decisions with relation to your portfolio instead of trying to figure out, which you won't be able to do, whether it is truth, fact, or fiction. This is no way to get to the bottom of that. So if right now we can agree that the US dollar is in a downtrend, if we do agree that valuations in the US are pretty hot, in fact, when we compare valuations on a relative basis with U.S. stocks, the S&P 500 is trading near decade highs of a P.E. forward on a forward basis of almost 22, where that is not the case for many of the other areas in the emerging markets. From a valuation perspective, there are other areas too, like small caps, like value, again, from a valuation perspective, they're a better place to be than in just core mega cap names in the U.S. And now that we have new information, that new information being the potential for a new direction for our government, for our country, whether you like it or not, that's not what I'm asking you. That's not what I'm talking about. You may say this is the worst thing that ever happened to our country ever because blah, 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 blah. You may say this is the best thing that's ever happened to our country. Oh, man, I love them. And this, oh, it's great. It's not the point. Point is that we have a different direction that is going to be the platform of this presidency. If, in fact, I keep on saying this, if Biden and Harris do get the election and we see all the things we talked about at the top of the show with regard to how there is a split in Congress. And we need to consider all the possibilities. So emerging markets, I still like, and I think that looking to favor them in a portfolio, I don't mean to overweight them compared to U.S. necessarily, but to favor them and to say, you know what, this is something that needs to be looked into, especially if it's breaking out on a technical basis and fundamentals are, or valuations are a bit lower and there's a better valuation proposition in those rather than necessarily in U.S. stocks only, and how that actually fits into your diversification. And we talked about the whole idea of commodities adding to that. So now there's two components of diversification we're talking about. The two components are the commodity exposure and how to tweak that, considering what we know going moving forward, and the potential for our equity exposure and looking at that on a regional basis around the world. I guess what I'm saying is, now is the time. It's the time to rethink portfolio positioning, even with the understanding that there is a divided government, and that doesn't change, but it is a differently divided government with the top, the president, potentially having different initiatives, different direction. So if you ever wondered, well, when should I look at my portfolio? When should I really start making some changes or thinking, you don't have to make the changes, but thinking about changes? When do I really need to start assessing what's going to happen in the future or just let it ride, just let it stay, just let it be, well, whatever. If now is not the time, it's never going to be for you. You have to really consider that this is a major moment in portfolio construction. This is a time where we see that there is the potential for some change to be made and for money to be made if you are allocated in a way that potentially has the opportunities right. Now, it's investing. Anything can happen. But the fact is that if you get this right, have an open mind to some of the things that are going on potentially around the world, and the fact that we are seeing at this point right now, snapshotting in time, right here, right now, that there is a much better hold on this virus in some areas around the world than others. And in fact, some of the areas around the world are going to add to a global slowdown. I mean, we've got lockdowns in the UK for 30 days. If we got lockdowns coming or a what are they calling it in Germany? A smart lockdown or smart stay-at-home order or optional or something like that. If we're seeing that Europe in general is really falling down, if we're seeing that the U.S., who it looks like we're not going to close down under any circumstances, now getting 120,000 cases a day and hospitalizations are starting to grow and deaths are... Oh, what is that going to mean? Even if we don't have stay-at-home orders, even if we don't have government-required lockdowns, do you think that confidence about going out and doing and traveling and going to a hotel and going to a restaurant, going to a movie theater, going to a mall is really going to be the thing that people want to do? Go to meetings with a lot of people? No. Going to a concert? No. Confidence will erode, and this whole game is all about confidence. And if confidence erodes, if that is the case, because we don't get a vaccine right away, and even if we get a vaccine, how long is it going to take to get that vaccine really flowing through the system if the efficacy of the drug itself is that level that it's going to cure and eradicate this whole thing? On and on. But if it doesn't just go perfectly, where are the opportunities? That's what you should be asking yourself right now. Where are the opportunities out the next year or so? We're getting close enough to the end of the year. We could do some tax harvesting of your portfolio. Important to do, particularly in this year, if in fact we're thinking and seeing that there's a lean towards possibly a higher tax rate. Whether or not they can get that in is another story. But you know, it's amazing that we saw last month one of the biggest inflows into municipal bonds. Probably a lot of that has to do with, we'll have to see over the next few weeks if there's outflows in that. But probably they thought that the blue wave was going to be happening. And if the blue wave happened, what you're going to get was the potential for a higher tax rate, thereby making municipal bonds and the yield worth much more on a after-tax basis. But let me reiterate, let me state this again. If it's not the time now to really reevaluate into the end of this year with a new administration, with knowledge about valuations, understanding about the way things are going with the dollar, with the energy, with valuations around the world, with the spread of the pandemic, when is it if it's not now? And we are actively looking at, we've set a few things up in the past already with this in mind, and we don't necessarily have to make a lot of changes, but tweaks to the portfolio may be in order if you're not situated right to begin with. And that's what we do with our global allocations. If you want to, by the way, more information about that, if you want to check out what we do with our global allocations, you know how to get in touch over at thedisciplinedinvestor.com, Investology, which is our robo-style, our advisor-crafted and technology-enhanced robo-S, $10,000 minimum, that's it. So if you want to kind of get an idea of what we're doing, how we're doing it, where we are invested, what's happening, kind of a great way to do it right there with a small minimum. So I think you get the point. If it's not the time now, then when? Not now, when? If not now, when? So make sure to spend a little time. Listen, spend a little more time this week working on your portfolio than you are on Netflix. Spend more time picking out your next meal rather than doing that on your portfolio. Just spend a little time. This is kind of a week that you can do it. Light economic week coming up. So not a lot of excitement there. We're kind of post all the, well, hopefully soon, all the craziness with the election. What is going to be the next? Hopefully we're going to go back to seeing a cat caught up in a tree and the local fire department doing the rescue. That's going to be the 10 o'clock news. I don't think that's really the case because I think this is going to go on for some time. But nonetheless, this is a great time to look at it. So that's what I wanted to bring you today. Next week, don't forget, we have the listener call in listener question show. Please do me a favor. Go over to thedisciplinedinvestor.com. Click on the Ask Andrew and do that. Or what I really prefer you to do, I want you to do this. So I'm asking you to call up that number. Here it is again, 754-300-7095, and leave a question in the form of a recording, and we'll get you on next week's show. But do that by Tuesday of this week because we have to set it up. So do that in the next couple of days coming up. I want to thank you for joining me. Thank you for being there. Thank you for being a part of this, making this such a popular show, making this an interactive experience. Thank you for your emails. Thank you for your comments. Thank you for your reviews on iTunes and Spotify and Podchaser and all these different podcast networks. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much. You are what makes this all so worth it. Until next week. Thanks again. Have a profitable week. I'll see you soon. Nothing discussed in this podcast should be considered a recommendation to buy or sell any security. Past performance is no indication of future results. In addition, the information presented is not intended to be used as the sole basis of any investment decisions, nor should be construed as advice designed to meet the individual needs of any particular investor. Nothing herein constitutes legal, accounting, or tax advice, or individually tailored investment advice. Remember, investing involves substantial risk. Past performance is not a guarantee of future results, and a loss of original capital may occur. No one receiving or accessing this information should make any investment decision without first consulting his or her own personal financial advisor and conducting his or her own research and due diligence, including carefully reviewing any applicable prospectuses, press releases, reports, and other public filings of the issuer of any securities being considered. Please consider this for educational purposes only.
As always, use your best judgment when investing. Horowitz & Company, Inc. is registered as an investment advisor with the state of Florida and conducts business in other states where it is properly registered or is excluded from registration requirements. Registration does not imply any level of skill or training.
Advertisements are not related to the host or affiliates and are not considered recommendations by the host of the show or any affiliates of Horowitz & Company.